Hello, everyone. Welcome to Season 2, Episode 8 of Hearthstone Deck Tech. We're talking Odd Mage in Wild with Reno Jackson. You know, if you haven't heard of Reno Jackson, he is a Wild player, always brings the craziest decks. You may have known him from the Wild Open, or you may have known him from his crazy outfit that he wore to the Wild Open. But I will let him talk a little bit more about himself. Reno, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Thanks, Consanity, for having me. So, my name is Daniel, but people know me on Twitter as Reno Jackson. Yeah, the wild card, which is kind of fitting, you know, because I only play wild mode. So you can just call me Reno. It's the person's name anyways.
Did you start playing when Reno was around?
Yeah, no, I started playing way before that. So I started playing in around Nexdramas, so mm-hmm. I would say I'm quite a veteran. Anyways, my friend introduced me to this game, and the funny thing is that he played it for another 2 weeks, and then he quit the game and left me to play it alone. Wow. I don't mind much. I kept playing the game, and it's been treating me well. But I used to have a different battle tap before Reno Jackson, but I didn't remember what it was, but then League of Explorers got released, and I really liked the card, so I just changed my name to that.
You know, what were, like, okay, so you started playing in Naxxramas. At what point did you really start taking the game seriously and finishing high on Legend and, you know, being pretty much a pioneer of that format?
I think the first time that I've ever gotten Legend was before the split. So there wasn't any standard, there wasn't any wild then. So I reached Legend with Temple Mage back when Flamewicker was a thing. Well, it's still a thing now, but okay. It hasn't been a thing for a long time. So I just started hitting Legend then, and then I just kept going, you know? Once I got a hand, I got used to the thing and just kept going, hit Legend almost every single month. But then the split happened, and I thought to myself that, you know, if I have access to every single card in the format, why should I play standard? Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just played WoW since then.
How was it, like, when the split happened for you? Like, did you find that it was harder to queue games for Wild, or was there always, like, people playing Wild? And
it's always been hard queuing games in Wild, you know? You have to wait at least 5-10 minutes sometimes, especially when it's night in America, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. I used to play on Asia server. It's the same thing. When it's 2-3 a.m. on Asia, then it's nobody really playing, and the queue just take forever, and it's always been a problem. It's still a problem now, especially with the new patch coming out. You can't really queue into the same person anyways anymore. I mean, in Wild, there's always only two people playing, so if you can't queue into them, there's nobody else.
That's crazy. I mean, that's for you, because you are, like, you know, you float around the top 100, top 10. Like, it must be crazy for you.
Yeah. But I'm not too sure if it gets any better if you're lower down the line, you know?
Oh, it gets better. Because I'll hit Legend, but I won't be, like, top 100 or anything like that. And I always find matches, but, yeah, like, it is queuing up into the same person pretty often, but I think that's interesting though. I think it offers, like, you know, counterplay,
queuing and stuff. Yeah.
What do you think? What is your favorite archetype of all time?
I'm a big fan of warrior, the control warrior in particular, or any fatigue strategies. So I just love looking at the pop up saying that you're taking 10 death fatigue damage, and then they die with no cards left on hand or in the deck, you know? Yep. So, like, decks that people find boring, stuff like Dead Man's and Warrior, or, like, Odd Warrior are kind of nice for me.
Uh-huh. So you like the long games?
Yeah. Or, well, I usually like to have them die before turn 5 or after, like, turn 3, so there's no in-between.
Oh, wow. That's two ends of the spectrum. That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
But I, you know, like I always have an admiration for people who love to play the fatigue decks because, especially if you're grinding the ladder, like you really have to be making the right decisions every turn, because if you lose a game that went 20 minutes long or 18 minutes long or whatever,
it's very tilting.
Yeah, that can be very tilting. And yeah. I mean, obviously you have to be holding a pretty high win rate with those decks to
stay
pretty high. Are you keeping up with any of the Grandmaster? Like, how much of the standard content do you like keep up with?
I sometimes tune into Player Host on Twitch channel if I have the time. You know, I watched the Host on World Championship last year, and I still watch some of the Grandmaster games. I know the players who are in the Grandmasters, but like not too much else.
So, speaking of the Grandmasters, is there, I mean, you know, from what you know, is there a player that you know that you were surprised didn't make Grandmasters, maybe? I mean, hard to say, right?
Yeah, I would say, let me just think from the top of my head. I would say Feli. You know Feli? The pro player from Czech Republic. So, he used to be in the Wild Open 2018 from there. Uh-huh. With me as well, and then you just take off there, and he's a friend of mine who happens to play the game very well, so he's won various tournaments. I think that he won European Summer Championship as well, so he almost made it into the World Championship last year, and just I think he lost in the final round. Okay. So he came very close. So I know Europe is a very competitive region, but for me personally, Feli definitely deserves a spot.
You know, you were talking a little bit about, you know, competitive Hearthstone and Wild. It doesn't really get the support from Blizzard in terms of things you can enter. But luckily, the Wild community is pretty close-knit. So, I mean, I know you were throwing tournaments on, what is that platform that you guys are on? BlueStacks?
BlueStacks, yeah. So they have a Discord channel and everything is automatic there. You sign in and then there's a bot that just does everything else for you. So that's not really much you can do.
What's that format like? Is it specialist or is it?
I can choose the format. So they give me a lot of liberty as to what we can do. So
how often do you throw those?
Happens once a week. So the tournament last time was in the Conquest format, and it's only best of three with closed deck lists, so it opens up opportunity for, you know, a lot of spicy deck lists. So I can just change it up, switch it up whenever I can, so just trying to keep things fresh.
Do you guys have an archive of like the matches that get played there or anything?
Not really that I know of, but we do stream some of the games.
Oh.
So, yeah. So, some of the games appear on streams, especially, well, all the semi-finals and the finals are always on stream. So, if you have access, I can give you access to the VODs if anybody needs to look at that.
Yeah, we'll put that in the podcast show notes. So, if you guys want to check that out.
Yeah,
as
that's
well
cool.
as the Discord, right? There's a Discord channel you'd like these guys to join.
Yeah, so I also host tournaments for Team Brainstar. Mm-hmm. So it happens once a month, but the tournament goes for much longer because it's best of five. And, well, I have to wait for games, and it just takes forever, you know?
Yeah, I bet.
It just happens when one of the brackets moves faster than the other. Mm. I don't know if you've been in that
situation. For sure,
So you have to wait another couple of hours. Hours, that's too long.
No, I mean, yeah, if one guy's playing all controlled lists, it's like, fuck, forever.
Yeah.
And it just holds up that entire leg of the bracket, right? Like, matches can't go forward. Yeah, that's the worst. Like, I also do other gaming tournaments where I come from. I live on Guam, right? And so I do, like, fighting game tournaments, like Street Fighter, Dragon Ball, things like that. And then,
same thing happening?
Yeah, you know, like, we have a double elimination bracket, so, like, when people are in the loser's bracket, like, if they're playing multiple games, you know, you have to wait for those other games to finish so that they can finish their loser's bracket game so that other people can play the loser's bracket matches. That's, like... But, you know, the good thing about those is those games are, like, 10 minutes, right? Like, Hearthstone thing can take fucking an hour. That's crazy.
That's the worst.
What are three basic principles you think that people that finish in high legend have that people that are finishing outside of the top, 500 in wild, don't have?
I'd say that perseverance is one of them. Like, breaking top legend isn't all that hard. It's just that some are not as patient as others. So, like, sometimes you're going to lose and you're going to feel really down, but that's just the nature of the game. Maybe you can come back later, then you play better and you ride a good win streak and you find yourself hard enough. But also, you need to be mindful of your decisions. You need to know what to do when you're winning and what to do when you're losing, because you'll be playing very differently in such situations. So top players know when tempo is more valued and when you need to grind out the tiniest piece of extra values. Mm-hmm. But knows about all the micro decisions. So like, the good enough players know the macro decisions, but top player can see the great details. And lastly, you have rage management. This is a funny one, but kind of straightforward, you know? Uh-huh. You don't play well when you're angry, so like, don't be angry when you play.
That's true. Do you have like any rules of thumb? Like, if you lose a bunch of games, you're like, okay, I'm just done today, or like?
Usually I follow this kind of rule. If I lose two games in a row, I'll just come back later, you know? Because I'm a little bit religious when it comes to that. If you hit a loose streak, the rest of your day is just not going to go well, so you just come back later. You'll be in a better state of mind anyway, so it doesn't help when you start tilting. You just keep going on, you just throw away all the stuff that you built up until that point,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And then you start just playing loose, right? Like, you know, just making way quicker, rasher decisions.
That happens to me a lot. More.
Yeah, that's the worst, man. I've never finished in the top, 10 legend in Wild. Mm-hmm. How do you gauge your progress with this? Like, halfway through the month, like, if you're sitting outside 500 or, like, at 250, are you like, okay, I'm on pace here, or do you just like play Hearthstone every day and just, you know, hope that you play better as the days go on and win?
Yeah, I don't think I'm that competitive of a player, you know, because so I don't really set any goals that I need to hit this particular rank by the first week or so. But the months that I find myself really high are usually the months that I hit legend very early.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of it as well, because it's easy for you to get high enough and to stay there than to grind at the end of the season and just have to trot up like 500 ranks. Now that's not an easy thing to do. And if you happen to fall down, you give yourself time to just crawl back in, you know? If you just wait until the end of the month, then you just have no time to do anything at all, and there's a lot more risk involved.
You know, I like what you said about the greater players know when to play for the tempo or play mm-hmm. for value.
Yeah.
Because it's not always just like that simple, right? Like, you know, oh, it's control warrior, I'm gonna play for tempo here versus him, right? Like, because sometimes, you know, the hands or the board state dictate something different, right? Do you find, I know you only play wild, but do you find the variety of decks in wild, like for the different classes, make it difficult to make those macro type of decisions, like mulliganing and deciding to play for tempo early?
Well, they say it's been a discussion for a long time that the players in wild, they usually don't make as many optimal plays as playing standards. And I would argue that one of the reasons for that is because there's such a big variety. In standard, you know what you're going to queue and you know the popular matchups, so you have a lot of practices against those matchups. Mm-hmm. But in WoW, it's too much for you to learn, and I would say it's like impossible to grasp all the popular matchups.
Yeah.
The semi-popular matchups, like 100% sure. So And things like this takes a lot of practice. So you would mulligan wrong most of the time if you see something that's not really popular. And I would say that sometimes you just don't really know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
It happens to me. So it happens to me as well. So it can happen to everybody.
You know what? I like how you were mentioning, like, it's very difficult to mulligan against things. And I think that's going to bring us to the next part of this podcast, where we talk about the spicy deck list that you brought here. And, you know, the reason why I bring this up is because I, like, when I play Wild, there are three... I only play one deck in Wild right now. And mm-hmm. it's the Cyclone Mage, or whatever, Quest Mage,
ooh.
Right?
Yeah, I've been playing
that. I love it. I've been playing that for two seasons. I copied a list from a Japanese guy, last mm-hmm. season. And I really like that style of play. I think it's pretty fun. There's tricky lines. There's a lot of RNG involved. But, you know, all games feel winnable, right?
Yep.
But so every time you queue into a mage, you feel like this is the deck you're going to face, right?
Yeah,
but
I
see you have brought something very spicy here. We got an odd mage list. You guys can copy the deck code in the description. But for those of you mm-hmm. who don't have it, we got two Arcane Blasts, two Arcane Missiles, the Fire Eater guy. What is that? Burning Flame Eater or whatever?
Burning Fire Eater.
Yeah, two of him. One Mirror Image, two Ray of Frost, two Black Cat, two Cinderstorm, two Conjurer's Calling, two Flame Wakers, two Polymorph Boar, Luna, two Unexpected Results. That's a card I've never seen played. two Azure Drakes, one Lotheb, Archmage Antonitis, two Corridor Creepers, Janalai the Firehawk, and of course Baku. And I'm just going to, before you talk about this deck, I'm just going to say right now, I love this deck. Because you got four Azure Drakes in it, and I Black Cat, you know, my little logo thing is a cat. I love cats. Black Cat is one of my cool favorite cards, even though I've rarely ever played it. Can you tell us a little bit about why you decided to create this thing?
So it's like when they make Baku and Gen, you would know that people are just gonna make decks that revolve around those strategies. So all these decks popped up, things like Odd Paladin and even Shamans and stuff. And then there's just not really much of the variety. Now when I say there are nine classes that can play Odd and even decks, why do you only play Shaman? Why do you only play Warlock? You know, so I'm just trying to make all these Baku and Gen decks to work. And Odd Mage just happens to be one of the decks that work out the best for me. So that's why I made the deck.
What is the game? What is the strategy with this deck? Like, what are you looking to do?
I think this deck plays a little bit differently against, different decks in the format. I think it's against faster aggro and mid-range decks, you would, want to fend off the early game before developing a board for yourself. Because if you see from the deck list, I play no one drop.
Yeah.
So it's not a deck that really goes, just vomits everything on board and just trying to get things going very early. So against these kind of decks, you would to fend off the aggression, and then you drop something like maybe a cheap Corridor Creeper and just put Conjurer's Call on top of it. So it's zero mana when you play the creeper, but it's seven mana on board. So
wow.
you can get two
god.
Seven drops.
Oh my god.
For as early as turn five.
Oh.
So that's pretty cool shit, you know?
Oh gosh, that's so wild. I was just thinking about it. I was like, okay, yeah, but yeah, so you can Conjurer's Creeper or you can Conjurer's Calling.
Yeah, so people just ask me, what is Conjurer's Calling doing in that deck? Like, you don't have any target for it? No, but no, you're wrong, you do.
Yeah.
You do have a target, it's just... just that, well, it's not Mountain Giant, so it's not the popular stuff, so you don't really think about it.
So you mentioned that the one drops in the deck, they're pretty reactionary, right? So do you keep those versus stuff like if you're expecting Odd Paladin or maybe Odd Rogue, are you keeping Arcane Missiles or Arcane Blast in those matchups, or
really depends. Obviously, against stuff like Odd Pattern, you would like a copy of Arcane Missiles, but not two of them, though, because Arcane Missiles can help you fend off the 1/1 minions for a turn, but ultimately, you need board. So I would keep stuff like Flame Waker, keep stuff like Black Cat, or Crawl or Creeper, like just generally the minions that you can stick on board. And then you can couple it up with Arcane Missiles just to remove their board and Devil of Something at the same turn. So that's generally how it goes against board-based aggro decks. But against stuff like Quest Mage, I don't know if you want to categorize Quest Mage as an aggro deck. It doesn't really play like an aggro deck, but it's one of the faster decks in the format. So against those decks, though, you would like to be more aggressive for locking the board with stuff like Low Tap. So basically be as aggressive as you can.
Okay. Are you, for unexpected results, like, what is the optimal way to play this card? Are you just waiting to play it with a Black Cat, or is it like a tempo play? You go Black Cat into unexpected results on turn four or something? Or
like, well, the earlier you can play unexpected results, the better. So if you don't have any other plays on turn three, I reckon you just play it. Because well, generally you have two drops for three mana, so you'll be looking at, I don't know, So you'll be looking at four worth of stats, four attack, four health. So that's pretty good even before the spell damage.
Okay.
But if you have Black Cat, or if you have any other one drop, two, three drop, or you just drop it before then. Or if you suspect that, but if you suspect that they're gonna have stuff that messes with your spell damage or messes with your spells in general, then you play it before you play the minions. So you play around stuff like Low Tap, because Low Tap is a very popular card in the format right now. So it really depends, but in general, you would like to play it early because the earlier you get it on board, the better.
How often are you weaving the hero power into turns with this deck? I mean, it's a Baku deck, right? So you're looking at the buffed up Fire Blast, right? How often are you using it?
I was going to talk about this as well, because your hero power is very efficient. So with the normal hero power, you just ping one damage off, but here with this one, you can ping two damage off. Well, that's self-explanatory.
Yeah.
Well, but the thing about the hero power and why it's so efficient in stuff like Odd Pattern or even Shaman is that it creates card advantage. So like you don't cost a card when you play it. So if you used your hero power instead of using your card to remove a card from your opponent, you're essentially gaining one card.
Yeah.
And the other thing about it is that it powers up your Shanalai.
Yeah.
The minion that the 7 mana minion summons a Ragnaros with a condition. So I've had instances where I wished I would have pinged one more time earlier than turn 7 so I can just drop my Janalai. So you things that you would like to use your hero power a lot to gain those incremental advantage.
For Janalai, you have to ping the face, right? Or can it...
You can ping anything.
Oh, really?
As long as you deal 8 damage. So like,
oh,
if you ping... If you ping the shielded mini bot, it doesn't count because you're dealing zero damage. So don't ping that. Ping other stuff.
But you can do like Burning Fire Eater and ping.
Yeah,
for
Burning
like
Fire Eater. That's
what
I missed to the face.
Wow.
So you burn. You use the Fire Eater twice. And then it's 8 damage already.
Crazy. That's crazy. Man, you know, like, and I'm still, like I said earlier, I really like that there's Azure Drake in here and Black Cat. Like, just drawing a card off of a creature is always
feels
pretty good.
All the spell damage stops.
How do you play the matchup versus, like, Big Priest? Are you mulliganing for, like, a polymorph boar, or are you just trying to be aggressive?
There's two ways about it. If you have polymorph boar, you just keep it, but don't keep the second one. If you don't have access to it, you just like to be as aggressive as possible, but generally that's the game plan anyways. So you'll be looking at, if they drop Barnes on turn 4, it has a 1/1 minion. If you have war, you just spoil it.
Yeah.
But instead, if the 1-1 minion, something like Magos or something like Velen, then you can just choose to ignore it, but generally you just don't want to put stuff in their dead rattle pool.
Yeah.
So that's how you use Polymorph Ball. You don't wait for value because, if you want to resurrect the ball, well, good on them. You know?
Yeah.
So you'll be looking at stuff like low tap as well, but I don't recommend keeping low tap because the problem with this deck is that it can be aggressive, but it struggles to be aggressive. You don't have that many early drops. So if you're keeping low tap, you're saying to yourself that I believe that I'm going to draw a 3-drop, which doesn't happen to me often, if you see.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen to me often because I don't draw well at all.
How about Flamewaker? I mean, like, if he's the only 3-drop in your hand, the board is pretty even. How often are you tempoing this guy out?
It really depends. Against control, you don't need to gain that much value from your early spells, because against control, you have this debate whether you want to play your early spells right now and gain 2 extra damage with Flamewaker, or you want to keep it for stuff like Antonidas. So I reckon you just, against control, just drop it on turn 3, because you have the option to turn your other spells into damage later on. Against aggro, you would either want to go face very aggressively, so they have to deal with your Flamewaker before they develop anything, or you want to hold it off so that your Flamewaker with the 1-mana spells can clear off their board, and then they have nothing, and you have a board. So it really depends on which matchup you're looking at.
Interesting. So you just started playing this deck a few days ago, right? Like,
yeah, I played it a few months ago as well, but that was before the buffs, so I didn't have stuff like unexpected results, but I had quite a few. I would say I have experience with it beforehand.
So, you know, when you're testing something like this at the higher levels of the game, how do you judge what's effective or what's not working with the smaller sample size at that level? You know what I'm saying?
I would say that you just have to have a general grasp of it, like a general guess, because when you play against this deck, for example, I try Luna's Pocket Galaxy, I run into stuff like Odd Paladin, and it wasn't working out. So I would say to myself, Odd Paladin is a representative of the meta. So if this particular version doesn't beat Odd Paladin, would beat the other similar decks. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
So I would use that logic to test out the stuff, because, well, obviously you don't get to play that many matches and you don't really see that many other decks on ladder, so you just have to make an evaluation based on what you see. That's the safest best for me.
So in your experience with the deck, what are the matchups that you'd love to see, and what are the matchups that you're kind of rather not queue into?
I think that this deck has games against most decks in the format, but I would really love to see both base decks like Odd Paladin or Odd Rogue, though, because it does very well in fending them off. Also, it's pretty good against Warlocks, and I don't hate queuing into Big Priest and the popular Quest Mage, but I probably don't like to see Druids and Odd Warriors, because they can gain a lot of armor, and I don't like armor. But I like armor when I'm playing them, not on the other end.
Yeah.
Well, you can't really bust them down with this deck. You don't really have that kind of damage as opposed to stuff like Quest Mage. So if they have answers to all of your threats and to Antonidas, you're kind of stuffed, you know?
And Antonidas, I mean, like, you're typically throwing him down like turn 10 with like a double Ray of Frost or something with Arcane Blast or something?
Yeah, that's the common mistake people make. So I think some people are too conservative for dropping their win condition. So for example, some hold Antonidas until they can make sure they get value out of him, as you said, dropping him 10-10. but by then you have given your opponents the chance to draw into removals or given away board advantage. So you would have to, you have to understand that Antonidas is not your only win condition in this deck. So don't be afraid to drop him just to gain foothold when you think that they are unlikely to hold the right removal. So hand tracking is very important here. So you need to track. You need to track which card, which removals they use, and how likely the removals are going to be in their hands. So you see the cards they've been keeping for several turns. You can have a general guess as to what that card is, and if you think that that's not the removal, you drop Antonidas.
You mentioned that, like, playing him on turn 10 is a common misplay. Are there any other decision-making things that are commonly misconstrued with this deck?
I guess the same thing goes with other stuff like Low Tap or Janelai. For example, some people just hold Low Tap to get maximum value out of him, so forgetting that he's at 5-5, so he's 5 extra damage on board, and he locks the board for one turn in many situations. Yep. So you, with the deck that doesn't really have that much burn as Archmage, sometimes you really value that 5 extra attack. Also, some people are wasteful on small spells. So spells like Arcane Missiles and Arcane Blasts gain a lot of value from a Flame Wicker, from a Black Cat or Antonidas. So using them too liberally means that you're missing on value. So you need to know when you want to use the spells. Sometimes you value the damage from Flame Wicker more, but sometimes you want to value the extra fireballs.
Okay. Dang. All right. Man, well, thank you, man. Thank you for going through this deck list. Like I said, if you are listening to the podcast, you can download the deck code and then also, of course, join the Discord. Reno, any final thoughts, final words that you want to say to people at home?
I guess it's been a wonderful time hanging out with you on here. So I really appreciate what you've done for the community. So I really appreciate all the people who will be listening to this podcast. So that's probably it. Don't know what else to say.
Great, man. What's next for Wild? What is the next big thing going on in Wild that people should know about?
Archmage becoming tier one.
Oh, is that what it is?
I don't know about that.
Do you write for any of the meta reports? Like,
I do. I'm the lead war writer for the Ranked Star Wild meta report, so it's a monthly thing.
Cool.
Yeah, the difference between Ranked Star and the other reports that exist in the format is that we feature a lot more decks, so we give room for decks that are obscure or that has the decks that have a lot of potential but don't really have that many pilots.
What are some decks do you think that are going under the radar that need to see more play besides this Odd Mage, obviously?
I'll say stuff like maybe Treasury Warlock. It's like one of the best control warlock in existence right now, but not many people have been catching on to it. Maybe it's because of the skill ceiling that may be a problem. Or maybe stuff like Hunter. Hunter's very underplayed right now, but there are many good decks.
Yeah, I mean, I always see Duin. I always see him posting like crazy wild hunter decks.
Duin's have some spicy decks. He used to lay out the foundation for the spell hunter that I eventually worked on, and it's been doing very well for me. Also, spicy stuff's like, I may be biased because I made most of these decks, but Handbuff Paladin, that stuff that's some sort of spicy stuff, and it actually got me ranked as high as rank 2. Really? On Legends, good on its own.
That's post buff with the buff to
with the buff to Crystallogy and the Glowstone technique.
Wow, interesting man. Well, I am excited to really play this because I know Saucy Mailman always complains about Quest Mage, so I want to cue into one of these guys that hates Quest Mage with Odd Mage so that they're surprised and
you'll be looking to queue into me then.
Oh,
I hate that deck. I don't play it ever, but it's just I don't really like the decks that I don't know just uninteractive. So usually you have ways to interact with deck in win condition, but they're getting an extra turn to do whatever they want when there's nothing you can do to interfere isn't very fun for me.
So you don't like all iterations quest mage? Like, not even, not just the Cyclone Mage, but even, like, older quest mage, the traditional type of quest mage decks out there?
I think the older quest mage is fine. Because, well, takes a lot more time for them to
take. Yeah, it takes, like, 10 turns, you know? Or, like, 9 turns.
But, well, the thing about traditional quest mage is that you know what they're going to do. So you know the win condition, and you know when you're gonna die. But with the new quest mage, you're basically playing around all the random stuff. Play around, I don't know, 50 available wild spells in mage. So sometimes there's just nothing you can do. You know.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. One last question. What do you think is the most degenerate deck in the history of the wild format?
This is a hard one. Because
there have been some good decks before.
Yeah, we speak more wild, so every deck is broken.
Like Naga Sea Witch, or maybe like Starliner, or I don't know, Patron Warrior.
It's too many to choose from. I would pick Reno Priest.
Reno Priest, really?
Yeah, Reno Priest has been very good in its prime. Maybe its prime has been like a year ago, so people probably forgot about it. But it's been very good. It was very good when it was in its prime. When you drop down Razan turn 5 into Shadow Ripper and Anduin turn 8, you know the game is probably over.
Oh, it's done, yeah. I even just forfeit. I concede. If I see Razan 5, I'm just like, oh, okay, well. It was a close game. Up until that point. Do you think Reno Priest still survives? Or, like, Raza Priest still has a place in the meta, even though it's an underpowered hero power now?
It does. I mean, Memnarch, I know that guy always played Reno Priest. Like, he's the only player who's playing Reno Priest on meta. But he's been consistently hitting, like, top 20 legend, well, even though he knows the deck in and out. But I think that if, I would say, a typical Hearthstone player to pick it up just can still do some things.
All right, man, that's awesome. Reno, it was a pleasure having you on the show.
No,
I'm gonna let you go. I know it's getting late here on Guam. It's probably getting late there in Australia. Man, I hope you continue to do great things in the wild community. It's amazing seeing you play, and all of you guys listening at home, be sure to check the Reno's Discord channel out to get more info on tournaments and Team Rankstar. And give this decklist a try as well. But we will see you guys next time. Thank you.